Last month by Hamas near the Al-Shifa hospital in Gaza. It comes as the terror group considers a deal to free more hostages. CBS's Ed O'Keefe has details.
Two officials with knowledge tell CBS News children are being prioritized as part of the first wave of a potential hostage release aimed at ultimately bringing home the roughly 240 people believed to be taken during the October 7th Hamas attack. In addition, one of the officials said that an unspecified number of Palestinian women and children currently held in Israeli prisons also potentially would be swapped.
Israeli forces have also dropped leaflets for Palestinians in southern Gaza, warning them to leave ahead of a possible expansion of their operations. Embattled New York Congressman George Santos says he will not run for re-election next year following what he calls a smear report from the House Ethics Committee. CBS's Scott McFarland's on Capitol Hill.
Their review found he misused campaign money for personal use and that he was responsible for filing false reports and false information with the Federal Elections Committee.
The report comes 2 days after his former campaign fundraiser pleaded guilty to wire fraud. Workers at more than 200 U.S. Starbucks stores walked off the job today, which happens to be Red Cup Day, one of the busiest days of the year for the company. The union's calling the strike Red Cup Rebellion. They want more staffing help to keep up with demand. The United Auto Workers just sealed the deal with General Motors. Here's reporter Jeff Gilbert.
The deal passing by a thin margin, about 3,000 votes out of more than 33,000 cast. It appears support was strongest at parts and battery plants where workers were in line to get big raises. There was far less support at a number of big GM assembly plants.
More heartache for a Texas mom who lost her son in the Uvalde shooting.
Felicia Martinez is pleading for the return of a handbag that was stolen from her car in San Antonio. It held several items honoring her 10-year-old son, Xavier Lopez.
That's all I have left, my baby, that I never get to hold again. I never get to hug or kiss. All I have left of him.
That's CBS's Jim Crisula reporting. Well, hurricane season may be over, but downpours are still drenching South Florida.
I can't drive here. There's too much water.
We hope for a lot of sunshine and sunny days at the beach, and this is not expected.
Flooding and heavy winds will continue through later tonight, but Friday and the weekend will be drier. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
It's fully leaded education talk, hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Zohr Shriners Festival of Trees will be back this year in Wisconsin Rapids. The indoor decorative forest will commence the day after Thanksgiving and continue until December 3rd. You can enjoy a warmed, enchanted journey through the Wisconsin Rapids Masonic Center. Admission and parking are free. People can purchase raffle tickets for a chance to win a sponsored tree accompanied by presents. There's also an indoor holiday wreath gallery, and each wreath will also be a raffle item. All proceeds support the Zohr Shriners Funsters of Wisconsin Rapids. You can go to the Convention and Visitors Bureau website for the schedule at visitwisrapids.com. You can ride the city bus in Stevens Point for free on Fridays starting tomorrow. The Free Ride Fridays program begins on November 17th. Passengers can travel for free on city buses every Friday through December 29th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 31 tonight, under cloudy skies, west winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. High of 41 tomorrow, lows around 27 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 64.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this November 16th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mayloff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW Extension Madison Wood County. Right now in studio, we have our friends from Visit Rome. We have Jillian Aleknena.
Yes. I think you added maybe one extra syllable.
I added,
but
yeah, yeah.
That's the closest
It was as close as I've gotten, so that was pretty good. But Jillian, thank you so much, even when I mess up your last name, for being here and entertaining us and giving us all this great information.
Thanks for having me.
We want to send a big thank you to Nakusa Port Edward State Bank as well for sponsoring this segment. Always appreciate the gang over there and encourage you to check out the great work that they're doing. Jillian, let's go ahead and dive right into this because we got a lot to go over today.
Yes, we do.
We got a great event coming up this Saturday.
Yeah. So Saturday, November 18th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Rome Town Hall is the old-fashioned holiday craft fair sponsored by the Rome Makers HCE. There will be more than 35 plus vendors with handcrafted items. Entry fee for you is just bring a food pantry item. Nice. That'll get you in.
That's cool.
We encourage you to get your Christmas shopping done early so you're not scrambling at December 23rd or something.
Yes.
And proceeds are going to be used for bookworms and scholarships for the Adams County students.
It's you had us right there.
Yeah.
You know, that's an amazing cause. It's a great way to get people down there. Bringing a non-perishable food item for the food pantry is always great, too. We love when we have chances to bring a food pantry donation to these kind of events as well. But the 35-plus vendors, that's impressive. That's a nice, I mean, that is a, you're gonna find something for everybody at something like that.
Yeah.
And it supports our vendors. It supports our locals and gives them an opportunity, one more chance to make a sale that they don't always have. So it's just a win-win-win kind of a evening. This is going from 9 to 3, I see?
Yes, 9 to 3.
And all you got to do, just bring a food pantry donation right to Town Hall.
Yep, exactly.
Very cool. I am very excited about this one. Melissa, my co-host on the morning show, we both got really excited about this one. Christmas cookie decorating classes.
Yes.
Classes for it. That's really cool.
So we have multiple days and multiple times for these, but they're all being presented by Blue House Bakery.
Yeah.
First one is Sunday, November 19th, so this coming Sunday, from 10 a.m. to noon. Saturday, November 25th, from 6 p.m. to 8. Sunday, November 26th, from 10 to noon. Saturday, December 9th, from 10 to noon. And then Thursday, December 21st, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And if you want to go back and find a certain one, we have all of them listed on our visitromewi.com website calendar.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a pro to sign up for these classes. All supplies are given to you, though aprons and short sleeves are highly recommended.
Yeah.
You'll be provided with a box to take your cookies home in. And included with each class purchase is a complimentary drink as well. And all of these will be at Lake Arrowhead.
Very cool. We send a shout out to Blue House Catering owners Kelly Lawler for doing this, teaching these. That's pretty cool. And it looks like whether you're like me and I've never really been good at baking or if you're a pro, you can take these classes. There's something fun for everybody. It's a really fun, because I know a lot of people like my mom who loves making Christmas cookies, but she's always looking for new recipes or new techniques.
Yeah.
So it seems like, you know, whether you're a pro or a novice, doesn't matter. You can enjoy this class. If people want to be get a part of this, where do they sign up to get tickets or something, or do they have to register?
Yes, you would sign up on the Blue House Cakery website. She should have a link that says tickets or cookie classes.
Very cool.
Otherwise, those are also linked on our Visit Rome website.
Very cool. Very cool. And we'll give those that website address again before we wrap up. Got something going on Wednesdays that we touched on this last time. I want to hit on it every time we have a chance to. This is a beautiful event. I love when these things go on.
Yeah. So every Wednesday at the Lester Public Library of Rome, they have children's story time from 10:30 to 11. Each interactive story time will feature a different set of books read by library staff and community members. It's open to kids of all ages. So if you're looking for something to do with the kids, this is a great opportunity.
You know, I my mom used to do this over at McMillan. She would have some hard days over there, but on the days she got to do that, she was all smiles. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know anybody over at Leicester, but I know librarians, and I guarantee that this is one of their favorite parts of their day, their week, is being able to do this. It's nothing like reading to kids, mm-hmm. especially as you're reading and you look up and you see their faces and how just glued into what every word you're saying they are and everything. It's fun also for parents and just getting to see your kids like this and getting to see how interactive they can be. And kids, the math, the science tells us kids are better readers. They get more into books. They care about reading more when they have people read to them, mm-hmm. especially adults. It's a win-win kind of situation for you, the kid, and for the librarians.
Yeah.
Also going on Wednesdays, this is a little bit more geared towards the adults. Got some good stuff going on at Hoozles at the Lakes.
Yeah, we have DJ trivia at Hoozles at the Lakes from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Always free, always fun. There are gift cards for first through third place. Even if you haven't gone before, we encourage you to go.
Yeah. It's one of those things. Well, I know that we can get a little competitive and everything. This is this is fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun chance. Now, and I also, I've actually had a listener tell me that the last time you guys were with us, and I almost forgot. She was encouraging people to attend this. She attended, didn't do really good the first week, did great the next week and going forward. So sometimes it takes a week or two to kind of get the swing of things. And it's something to do. Like, just simply put, we look for things this time of year. And as we're going forward, an old man winter rears his head and all that. It's fun to have these kind of things to make plans with friends. Hey, every Wednesday. Day we're doing this.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Exactly.
Also got something really, really important and exciting going on Thursday, November 23rd.
Yes. So the Big Turkey Day requires the Big Turkey Trot.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Our 5K fun run / walk will be 8 a.m. to noon. The run starts at the Rome Town Center gazebo. Everyone is welcome to attend. There's no pre-registration required. Snacks will be available after the 5K on race day. Like I said before, it is free, but with a suggested donation of $10 to draft. Mm-hmm. The first 50 participants will receive a thank you gift of stretchy gloves.
A good idea this time of year.
Yeah.
not a bad idea at all. Draft, an important organization. You know, we don't get to talk about them very much, and certainly encourage people to learn more about what they do and how they benefit our communities. Good organization, good group. So nice opportunity. Not only do that, but we also know, you know, having quite a few of these over the years in our area and in Rome and Nacusa, people love these 5Ks. They love being a part of them. Really, especially our Midwestern mentality, it doesn't matter what time of year it is.
Yeah.
Spring, summer, winter, we're showing up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a fun time, too, for that and, of course, for the cause. It's a great idea. Also going on that Thursday, Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, there's Thanksgiving dinner at Sand Valley from 1 p.m. to 4. You do have to sign up ahead of time to participate in this. Our family style menu is sure to please everyone, and their mixologist has created handcrafted cocktails to round out your holiday experience. However, you can order this meal to go. Pickups are available. We encourage you to make your reservation today by calling the number 866-976-1069.
You know, Thanksgiving is so much about the food.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest part of, you know, family and being thankful, and then the food. That's in football. These are the things that we care about and matter. But especially as families get older and maybe the kids go off and have their own thing going on or anything, not everybody has not only the money sometimes, but maybe the energy or the time to cook a full meal for you and one other person or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to order, you know, getting your traditional Thanksgiving meal that you love and want while not having to cook.
Yeah.
It's a win-win. That's a pretty good deal right there. Again, you can make your reservation for this at 866 866-976-1069, 866-976-1069. Every Friday and every other Friday, got some bingo going on. DJ Bingo.
Yeah, we're back at Hoozles at the Lakes. Mm-hmm. 8:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. is DJ Bingo. Once again, free to play. Raffles and fun with your host, Lucas.
Mm-hmm. He does a great job. Yes, Lucas is awesome at this. It's a good time, and very similar to what we were saying about the trivia. Mm-hmm. Come on down. Maybe you don't have the greatest first week, but you keep coming back, and you get better at this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's something, something not only to, it's not just something to do, it's something fun to do. It's mm-hmm. something active to do. This trivia, these things, while we don't have a lot of things that may be able to get us out there and moving our muscles and bones and all that, your mind is just as important to keep busy during the winter. And, exactly. And these kind of events really make you help you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Got a really fun one coming up to kick off December, Jillian.
Yeah. That's insane to even talk about it really December.
Taking a second to even just say, acknowledge that, you're so right. I saw that and I realized, oh my God, next week is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Like, what happened to November? I still don't know what happened to June.
Yeah, exactly.
It's time just flying right by.
Mm-hmm. Friday, December 1st and Saturday, December 2nd will be a Christmas craft sale at 258 Oak Drive in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be running 5 to 8 p.m. on Friday, and then 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday. And 10% of every sale will be donated to the Alex C. Dove Foundation.
Yeah. Some wonderful people, one mm-hmm. of our favorite organizations. They've been with us on the air from the beginning of that to where they are now. And just so proud of the people that have worked on that and have worked so hard to make this a mainstay in this area and something that we celebrate, we talk about very proudly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming a lot more of a common thing, too. Like a lot more people know about this foundation than especially in the last couple of years have really risen with the popularity and the notoriety about it, which is they've earned that. They've worked on that so hard. This is great. We talk about craft sales all the time. We're helping local vendors. We're getting people great items that you can't find anywhere else. All of that is fantastic. But again, with a lot of these things, we see this combination of stuff. And mm-hmm. combining the Alex C. Dove Foundation along with this, it makes a wonderful moment that much more memorable.
Yeah, definitely.
You can make an impact on a foundation while also just doing what you do anyway, doing some Christmas shopping.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a benefit to our community, to these vendors, and really to a wonderful foundation with some wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
December 2nd, Christmas in Rome. Oh,
yes.
God, that just brought me back like the 100 years to when I was a kid to being in Rome during Christmas. That's a great time.
Yeah, and this year we've added on to the annual Christmas in Rome. So from 2 to 5 p.m. in the town hall, kick off the holiday season with the annual Christmas in Rome celebration. From that 2 to 5 time frame, we'll be at the Rome Town Hall enjoying holiday crafts, cookie decorating, face painting, popcorn, cocoa, snacks, and a visit from the big guy himself,
nice,
Santa.
Nice. Got a little. That's a get. Nice
yes.
job.
And then after that, running from 5 to 8 p.m., head over to the Rome Town Center gazebo and view the holiday light displays from local businesses and organizations. And also, you can ride a horse-drawn wagon around the business park.
Nice. I've never done anything like that. I've always wanted to.
Yeah.
Have you ever done anything like that?
I probably have, but the time slips my mind right now.
Sure, yeah. I get that. That's a wonderful time. It seems a little different than years past.
Yeah.
A little different. I've added some things to it, huh?
Yeah, we added the horse, obviously. and also just trying to get more people into that Rome Town Center area.
Yeah. I think you got something there. I think that's a good idea. Not only all of that, but the starting it, having a different time frame for that and kind of almost separating the events while also having them be kind of unison. That's
mm-hmm.
that's a really cool idea. The there's not a ton of opportunities for horse-drawn wagon rides anymore. So that alone is a really cool thing to offer too. And let's not forget the headline, Santa. You landed the get. You got the big guy. I mean, that's a get. Yeah. Nicely done. We're still figuring that out. We're going to get Santa on the air with us one of these days. So we're working it out. And again, this also, you know, celebrates the Rome area. It's a beautiful area to be in this time of year. So a win kind of situation. Just wins all over the place on
yes.
that one.
And also shout out to the kind of core group of business organizations that have been planning this pretty much since the last one. So it's not just Visit Rome doing a lot of this. Rome Snow Bandits, Rome Makers, HCE, Sand Valley, Town of Rome, and then just many other people mm-hmm. that have stepped up to volunteer their time, their ideas. So salute to you.
Yeah, I second that. You know, I've been very impressed and proud of that area, the way businesses have worked together. You know, organizations like you guys at Visit Rome are working with businesses. Not every area that has a population of that size is doing as well as the Rome area. Mm-hmm. Certainly, Sand Valley has helped a lot, and I'm not taking anything from that. That certainly is a big starting point and everything, but you that only does so much. Mm-hmm. You can only do so much with that. It takes ideas, creativity, and community to really grow an area. And all you got to do is drive through Rome to see how much that area has blown up since I was a kid.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful thing to see. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen without hard work and some real community effort. It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
Also going on December 2nd, Heritage Holidays.
Yes, so that'll be taking place at Point Bass. Mm. The citizens of Point Bass are preparing for the most wonderful time of the year, and you can be a part of those festivities. Mm. Get in the holiday spirit by watching and helping the locals with their holiday preparations. Join the trail guides as they take you on a walk on one of the many nature trails throughout Point Bass. Mm. And then warm up by the bonfire with a cup of hot apple cider.
Yeah. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Not only do you get to celebrate history, learn maybe a little bit about your own history, which we all can take pride and enjoy, mm-hmm. But it is a beautiful time of year to be out and about over there at the Historic Point Bass. I mean, that's just one of the more beautiful areas that we have, and some of the beautiful work that they do over there, keeping history alive. It's just going to be a good time and a great way to support what they're doing over there.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a good one. Looking forward to that, and I'm sure we'll be talking about that. We usually have the gang from over there join us. We'll probably talk about that with them as well. Mm-hmm. Monday, December 4th, winter holiday card making at Lester Library.
Yeah.
Very similar to the cookie making thing. Got people out there that know how to do this, but a lot more people these days getting really into the self-making cards. And
mm-hmm.
that.
Definitely. Spread some holiday cheer with a handmade greeting card made by you. Hmm. Learn how to make a beautiful card or create something unique all your own. Snacks will be served. This event runs from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. right at Lester Public Library of Rome.
Yeah. So my oldest, my daughter, she makes her own cards.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And does a really good job with them and has so much fun creating them and everything. I know that not everybody has the time and the money, but sometimes you don't have the time or the money to go get cards.
Yeah.
And making them is just a little bit easier. And there is nothing like the personal touch of creating something. Our grandmothers, our mothers knew this all along. You know, handwritten notes mean more. They just do. And you know, anybody, there's a lot of nice cards out there that you can buy and purchase. But why not, you know, save yourself a couple bucks, which is always, you know, nice this time of year. Well, also, like, doing something that, you know, the person you're making the card for is going to enjoy that much more. Something that's handmade.
Yeah.
It's a fun creative outlet, too.
It is. And the new director at the library is just on fire with all of these events.
Really is. Yeah. I really enjoyed talking with her the other week. It was a blast having her in. We told her, we warned her, just like we did you and Lisa, Jill, that you guys are going to have to come back. We're going to have to have you back. You know, it's just too much fun talking with them. But some really exciting things going on at the Lester Public Library.
Mm-hmm.
We wrap up on December 9th.
Yes. So at Sandhill Wildlife Area will be a tracking wildlife in the snow event from 9 a.m. to noon. Winter may be here. Well, we'll see.
It's coming. Yeah,
say this, there's no snow, you know, knock on wood.
Yes.
Most of our wildlife friends are still around. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's often easier than ever to find them. Join us at Sandhill Wildlife Area to learn how we can track and identify wildlife using their footprints that appear in the snow. Learn about all the different tracks you can see in and around Sand Hill in the morning, followed by going out and finding some tracks afterward. Please dress for the weather and bring your lunch and snacks. Mm-hmm. Class is limited to 20 participants, and pre-registration is required before December 6th, along with a $20 registration fee per person.
That is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You can register for more information by visiting dnr.wisconsin.gov. And you type this into your search bar. It'll pop up. You go to the Sand Hill Wildlife Area, their website, and it'll pop up as well. Just checking it before the interview today. And if you pop those things up, should go right to it as well. A shout out to Quinn Bromwell, for this. I was reading a little bit about and just an incredibly interesting human being, along with an interesting thing to offer to people. I understand that most people out there listening are not like me and a city boy, and don't, maybe you don't find this stuff that interesting. Maybe you've seen this your whole lives, but that's just it. You've gone your whole life seeing these patterns in the snow or that, and haven't you ever wondered, you know, a little bit more about those? And diving down, you know, in going down that rabbit hole, if you will, and no pun intended, and you might be seeing some rabbit feet. I didn't even realize I did that. But yeah, it's a fun idea, and it's something, it's another way to learn more about your area and the amazing wildlife we have in this area. Mm-hmm. I think for people that have been around this their whole lives, maybe it gets, you know, it's just, you get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an opportunity to really learn a little bit more about your area, the animals around it, and or maybe even just finding out some more information about things you already knew.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's a really cool idea for a class. And again, if you want to register, I encourage you to go to dnr.wisconsin.gov. dnr.wisconsin.gov should take you right there, and you can find out more information about that.
Mm-hmm.
Jillian, we have talked about a lot today.
Yes, we have.
And while we have covered a lot, as it is tradition now with our interviews, there's things we still don't cover because the Rome area, as we were touching on, is just growing and growing more and more, and there's more and more things for people to check out over there.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I did want to take the time to be able to touch on just with you, because we don't get a chance to very often. We talk a lot about local businesses and shops and restaurants. Got a lot of great places over there. There is also great places to stay in the Rome area. Maybe you're looking to spend a weekend there, or I know I actually was talking to somebody maybe a couple of weeks ago. I'm not sure. Time is a flat circle.
Yeah.
But they were talking about actually moving to that area.
Oh.
And talking about their family's not from Wisconsin. They wanted to check it out, and they were going to come by for a weekend. They weren't sure about places to stay. And I pulled up visitromewi.com. I pulled up your guys' website, and I encouraged that. I sent the link to them, and I was like, hey, check this out. There is a lot of like short-term rentals. There's resort hotels. There is other opportunities over there for that. There are places to stay.
Yes, there are.
That's something to think about even for locals. You know, sometimes, especially again, come winter, I don't care if you're going from Rapids to Point and you're just spending the night over in Point. It's something to do. It's something to look forward to. It's something fun. Gets you out of the house a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So even to locals, I encourage, you know, checking that out and maybe looking into staying overnight in Rome and checking out the area. I'll tell you this. There are not many more beautiful mornings than waking up in Rome.
Mm-hmm, like, definitely.
I don't care where you are in Rome. Like, wherever you are, there's going to be a beautiful view. There's something beautiful to check out. I still, to this day, kind of wake up in the morning sometimes and miss, like, seeing that Lake Camelot when I first woke up or something like that. There's nothing like it. Any time of year, spring, summer, fall, winter, it's a beautiful view out there.
Yes.
And there's so many great things that we get to cover and talk about with the Rome area. But again, we just don't have, we only have so much time. Jillian, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more about that area or just have some questions, or maybe they want to work with Visit Rome, how can they get in touch with you guys?
Yeah. So you can visit our website, visitromewi.com. You can call us. Our office number is 715-325-3090. Or you can email me, which would be JALEKNA@visitromewi.com. www.thezorshriners.com.
Encourage you to reach out to them, everybody. Find out more information again at visitromewi.com. Jillian, say hi to Lisa for us.
Will do.
And thank you so much for stopping by. We love having you in studio and everything. Thanks a lot for being here.
Love being here.
Good. We'll talk soon. We'll talk next month. We'll talk next month. And we'll talk to you in just a few. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Nakusa Port Edward State Bank is your locally owned, full-service community bank in Nakusa, Port Edwards, and the town of Rome. Since 1913, they've been helping area communities, businesses, and individuals with their financial needs, and are happy to sponsor these What's Happening in Rome live discussions. Hope you enjoy the updates. Everyone at Nakusa Port Edward State Bank is proud to be part of these exciting developments in the town of Rome. Remember, when in Rome, bank at Nakusa Port Edward State Bank. Member Equal Housing Lender, FDIC insured.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Mike. Friday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Marshfield Clinic Health System is making major cuts due to financial struggles and cutting pay for upper-level management. Here's Brittany Merlot.
The changes were laid out in an email sent to all employees yesterday. Senior-level leadership, which includes the CEO, all chiefs, presidents, and VPs, will have their pay decreased by 15%. The company is also suspending its 401k match program for all employees and its 2023 contributions to the employee retirement plan. The email said these changes will help the company advance its financial turnaround strategy.
These financial struggles are due to a combination of rising supply and labor costs. A cougar was killed in Buffalo County. The Wisconsin DNR said it happened over the weekend when an archery deer hunter came across the cougar. They felt their safety was at risk, shot it, and self-reported the kill. Cougars are a protected species in the state, but since the hunter acted in self-defense, no charges will be filed. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 31 tonight, under cloudy skies, west winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. High of 41 tomorrow, lows around 27 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 64.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
We're not comfortable.
Guess what? You asked for it and you got it. The oldest furnace contest is back. Tri-City Services is giving away a free furnace to the winner of the oldest furnace contest. Whoever has the oldest working furnace in the Wisconsin Rapids area will win a free furnace. Yes, a free furnace. What are the rules, you ask? Well, entrants must own and reside in their home in the Wisconsin Rapids area. The furnace must be functional and the main heat source for your house. Pretty easy. So take a picture of that old dinosaur furnace and enter online at calltricity.com. Contest ends November 30th, so hurry. Enter your dinosaur furnace in the oldest furnace contest at Tri-City Services. Restrictions apply. Enter online at calltricity.com before November 30th.
You're not comfortable until you are at Tri-City Services.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this November 16th, 2023. It is 3:30 on the clock, and you got your host, James, and we are joined by our great friend, Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW Extension, Madison Wood County. Laura, good afternoon.
It's great to see you on this gorgeous day.
It is beautiful out. Yeah, you picked a good day to come in.
Yeah. Does it feel like November?
No, not at all. Not at all. It will soon. But for now, we're going to enjoy these temperatures. We're going to enjoy this weather that Mother Nature's giving us. And we're going to enjoy the conversation with you and talking 4-H. Laura and I are going to get into the benefits and the many reasons to enjoy 4-H and get youth involved in it. But before we do, you guys have a very cool class coming up that I wanted to touch on. What's the SCAT? And it's not because I just wanted to say, what's the SCAT? It's actually a good class, a very interesting class.
Absolutely. So SCAT has a couple of different definitions, right? Mm-hmm. And we are not going to be performing. We are not going to be singing or anything like that. So if you don't already know, I come from a wildlife background. Mm-hmm. And scat is something of a scientific term for something animals leave behind that we can identify the animal and, you know, all that sort of stuff with. Mm-hmm. So Jasmine and Anna, our natural resources educator, mm-hmm. have a program open to the public called What's the Scat? It's going to be at McMillan Memorial Library. We do ask for folks to register, but if you have young people who are interested in nature, in wildlife, in learning more about the environment around them, this is a great class for them. And What's the Scat? You're going to be figuring out how to identify. Mm-hmm. And no, don't worry. We don't have real samples. We have rubber replicas that go along with the education. It's fun.
It's fun. It's first off, that's really good for ventilation. Yeah. It's a smart move ventilation wise. No, this is actually, I was thinking about this during another interview that we had where we were talking with our friends at Visit Rome, and they've got a class coming up in December about identifying footprint animal prints in the snow and all that. And I know I'm a city boy, so these things may seem a little more fascinating to me than maybe some out there. But I know I've grown up with a lot of kids from this area that don't know some of these things or find some of this interesting. First off, I think it's a great idea getting young people, little kids, they laugh at stuff like this. Mm-hmm. It makes them giggle. It makes them laugh. And that's okay because it means that they're intrigued. They're Absolutely. Interested. The worst thing you want is no reaction mm-hmm. from a child. That tells you, okay, I got nothing here. They're going to laugh and maybe giggle at a little of this, but that gets them intrigued and interested. And we just, a phrase we use often together, Laura, we don't know what that sparks in their heads.
Absolutely.
And all of a sudden we create new DNR members or new wildlife members or kids that go on to be veterinarians or something like that. My daughter was this way. I know many, many kids out there are like that, that something as simple as, something that every animal leaves behind mm-hmm. can really spark something in them.
So one of the things that I've really noticed just working with young people, especially mm-hmm. is it's really too easy to ignore the things that we don't have words for. And so when we can identify things and we have their names, we connect more, we understand more, we realize just how much is really out there. Because I'm going to tell you, we can look out this window and mm-hmm. I might not see a single example of wildlife, but they're out there.
Yeah.
And we'll pay more attention once we have the name. Once we have the name, we pay more attention, we care more. Yeah. And it might lead to career. It might just lead to appreciation. It might just lead to an understanding that, you know what, when life is really stressful, I'm going to get out into this space that feels friendly and beautiful to me because I can look around and I can name the things mm-hmm. and appreciate them. So,
not to over stretch this or anything, but I do believe that this does have a point in it too. Most fear starts with ignorance, without mm-hmm. without knowing something, without understanding. I talk about this a lot when it comes to races and creeds and sexes and that when it got a lot of our that we have in this day and age, it's been around from dawn of time, and then we're trying to bring the numbers down on and stuff and increase the knowledge of. It's no different with these subjects because I was like this mm-hmm. growing up when I first moved out here, and I'm sleeping on a couch in my nan and papa's house and right next to the window. And where I lived in the same kind of scenario in downtown Chicago.
Sure.
And it was nothing for me to hear those noises. Mm-hmm. It didn't freak me out at all. I grew up with it. Out here, I'm sleeping on that couch and I hear these noises outside and I have no idea what's out there. I thought the boogeyman, chupacabra, like any monster, they're all out there and they're waiting for me because those noises, it was a raccoon.
Yeah.
It was a raccoon. That's what my papa taught me the sound of a raccoon and I ended up learning what a raccoon sounded like. So when the next night when I'm going to sleep, I don't freak out. I'm like, oh, it's a raccoon just doing his thing.
Yeah.
It's knowledge that helps create that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it created a lifetime love of animals for me that to this day I just enjoy learning about animals and whether it's their footprints or any of these other things.
Yeah.
I may have not gone into that as a field, but I have an empathy and a care for animals that I didn't really have growing up until those early moments.
You bet.
Just don't know what it can spark in a kid.
So one of the great things that I love, so 4-H has a shooting sports program. Wildlife is incorporated into that. And so many kids have learned so much. Like, they'll just be spewing facts from watching shows like Wild Kratts. Cool to learn. But programs like this at the library, it adds a hands-on, actually let me touch, feel, get an idea for the size, understand color better, you know. And with scats, I mean, it's many colors, and you can see a lot more in there than you realize that you might. You can even identify what they've been eating based on the fur that's in there. So
it's crazy.
There's so much there, but it's really, it's bringing that education piece full circle. It's not just theoretical. It's not just words on a page. It's not just pictures on a screen. It's something right there in front of us, which is really, I think, the power of learning through the hands-on method that 4-H really advocates.
This is an awesome class. I encourage people to learn, find out more about it, to attend it, be a part of it. You can register online. Go to just type in your search bar, Wood County 4-H, pops right up for you, and the registration is right in that website. You can find it real easy that way. Again, Wood County 4-H.
Yep, and it's free. It's just one of those things. We always want to make sure we have enough materials for everybody who plans on coming. So if you're not able to register, by all means, still come and see. But please register so we get the best idea possible for how many will be there.
Yeah, that registration's important. I mean, I think everybody can relate to that. You're hosting something, or you're having a party or something like that. You want to know, have a ballpark of how many people are coming.
Absolutely.
It's a very similar thing. It's a similar theme of a lot of events that the 4-H does, and a lot of the things that kids get from being a part of 4-H. I want to kind of focus on that today with you, if you don't mind, Laura. I don't think we get a chance to do that nearly enough, of the true benefits of 4-H. We say that, and it comes up in conversation with these events we talk about, really getting our hands in the dirt, and really, no pun intended, but really getting into the subject matter of why it's so great for kids to be a part of 4-H. I think one of our first conversations you and I had that really opened my mind to this, because my sister was a Brownie, my sister cared like the 4-H, and her best friend did. I knew a little bit about it, and I knew it was beneficial to them, but I didn't know nearly as much as not only how great 4-H is, but how much it's evolved over the years.
You bet. So where are the roots of 4-H? Absolutely. They are in agriculture, and they are in what we might think about as some as the home ec things, right? So boys could do the farming things. Boys could learn about raising livestock, or they could learn about raising corn and crops. Where the girls, they were back at home, and they were learning how to do the food preservation, safe canning, or they were learning how to sew. Great skills to learn even today. These are important skills even today. But as time went on, we discovered that there's need for new things. You know what? There are industries out there today that did not exist 100 years ago when 4-H began.
Yeah.
Right? And so 4-H is constantly evolving and maybe I shouldn't say evolving. Maybe I should just say growing and use like a tree analogy, right? So our roots are deeply there in agriculture and family skills. But we're growing, we're branching out into all new arenas, whether it's citizenship, whether it's robotics and other kind of high science and technology things. Great, right? But I think sometimes we focus so much on those specific skills that we forget to incorporate, like, what does it mean for a young person to belong? What does it mean for a young person to have a relationship with a caring adult? It's easy for us to assume that everybody has that. And truth be told, not all young people, even in our area, you know, we like to think about us being in small town rural Wisconsin. There are problems here, just like there are in big cities. There are kids with unstable home lives. There are kids that are struggling because their families are financially struggling. And so as much as parents or guardians might want to provide the stability, they might want to be able to provide that, you know, really personal and important connection. They can't always do it. And so that's one of the things that I am really focused on right now is how do we help to reach the young kids, the young people, right? It's not just really young kids. It's everything from kindergarten through a year past high school. How do we help them discover new things, get opportunities that they wouldn't otherwise be able to have? You know, I grew up down in southeastern Wisconsin. I grew up with an alcoholic father and a mother who is an alcoholic and is addicted to prescription pills. Mm. I didn't have the same sort of life that a lot of my friends did. Mm. From the outside, it looked like I did, mm. right? And so that's, I think, one of my motivating factors. Like, what can I do to make sure that even the kids that have kind of unstable situations that they're growing up in mm. can have all of the opportunities? 4-H can be that. And so Jasmine Molina is our new AmeriCorps member. Mm-hmm. And I were working really hard to reach out into new spaces to hopefully be able to make connection with some of those young people that aren't going to be in a traditional 4-H club, like this program that we talked about at the mm-hmm. library. I've got some programming that I'm looking to get into the school district. So maybe all third graders or maybe all fourth graders in the school district can participate in this. So they have an opportunity to kind of get their hands dirty mm-hmm. And to work with somebody who's, you know, not grading their papers every day, right. not yelling at them for not getting their homework in on time, but just really there to just discover and be mm-hmm. excited about the discoveries and everything with them. Yeah. So, yeah.
First, Laura, you know, you and I have known each other for a couple of years now. We've been doing this for a while and everything. I consider us friends, and I really love working with you. I really appreciate what you just shared. Thank you. I don't think you knew this about me. I also grew up in an addictive family.
Yeah.
And I think we have a kinship there, if you will, that most kids do from coming from a background like that. But most kids don't know that about other kids.
Right.
And we know what we're talking about with this subject and how hard it is for kids not only to be in these environments and have these opportunities. Sometimes it's just difficult making new friends, mm-hmm. sometimes just making friends, period, and stuff. Being a part of 4-H, being a part of an organization like this, at the simplest bare roots of it, giving kids an opportunity to be in positive environments mm-hmm. and maybe make new friends. That alone, you had me. All right. Sign them up. Let's do it. Let alone all the millions of other great benefits that come from being a part of 4-H. So I really appreciate your perspective and where you're coming from on this. I know that a lot of the members of 4-H over the years, not just you and the current team, but people over the years have been this. My sister's original Brownie teacher had a rough background.
Yeah.
It's something that brings us together, mm-hmm. that we get that not everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say that you need a background like that to be a part of 4-H, obviously.
Absolutely not.
But it adds to the tapestry that is 4-H mm-hmm. and all the wide variety of kids that you have a part of these programs now. Old 4-H was wonderful and great, did some really good things, but you touched on earlier, kids, boys did this, girls did that.
Yep.
Now, what do you want to do? What do you want to learn about? I don't care about your sex. What do you want to learn about?
Yeah.
And that it's such an open and fun environment for kids.
Yep.
And for the kids to see other kids learning these things and other activities that are fun and interesting. There's so much to it.
Yeah. Not only do I not care about your gender, I don't care about where you live. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you live on a farm, if you live in out in the woods, but not on a farm. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you live in the middle of a city in an apartment. And this is one of the misconceptions that's still very strong mm-hmm. about 4-H. And it's one of the barriers for people joining. Mm. You do not need to live on a farm. You do not need to have a rural background. There is something in 4-H for you.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you want to learn about those ag-related things. Great, we can make that happen. Maybe you never want to touch an animal ever in your life. That's okay, mm-hmm. right? Because we are really not focused on creating the very best farmer in the world. Mm-hmm. We are not interested in just creating like the person who's going to create the new salsa factory in Wisconsin Rapids or anything like that. We are really interested in building young people into being the very best adults they can be. And if they've got really cool concrete skills, excellent. Mm-hmm. But if they know how to be a good human, if they know how to be responsible and be empathetic, and if they know how to be a hard worker, mm-hmm. if they know how to pick themselves up after failure, those are the things we care about. And our little carrot on the stick is the project work,
right.
The opportunity to work with the animals or to be able to one of the programs I'm going to try and do in schools is called Chick Quest. So learning about chickens and eggs and how they're developing, and just there's a lot of science behind it. So how do you ask the questions to figure out the answers? That's what science is about. So those are all the pieces that really get me charged up. It's not about the agriculture. It's about just the avenue to help kids learn.
Two quick notes. One, nobody is naming their programs better than the 4-H. Chick Quest, great name. What's the SCAT? Like all the names of all these programs. I love them. Yeah. They're so great. You guys are so creative over there. You do a great job with that. But one thing that you and I have touched on, but maybe it's been a little while since we've been able to, with all these things that the 4-H offers, they're all amazing and wonderful. But again, bare roots down to the bottom, certain things that, you know, every kid can benefit from. There's not a lot of opportunities in world these days to build a kid's self-confidence. And I love that aspect, that matters to you guys, that you think of that even. There's not a kid alive that couldn't use a little bit of jolt of self-confidence.
Right.
It's part of being young. And I think it's another one of those things that we forget about as adults. You know, making new friends, we don't think about how hard that can be. Even the most charismatic 7-10-year-old or whatever, you know, it can be difficult. And a child's self-confidence. There is so many things in life to build, to take down a child's confidence. Some of it unintended, you know, some of it just the way of the world, and some other things that just kind of happen. Here's an opportunity, an almost guaranteed opportunity, that your kid joins 4-H, that kid's going to come out of it a little more confident, feeling a little more sure of themselves. Yeah. It's almost, it can't be helped. It's organic. It's kind of built into 4-H.
One of the things that I think it's important for all of us to understand, as adults, I think we know that we are our own worst critics.
Yeah.
The same is true for young people. Yes. And I don't know if we're training our kids in that or if it's just the way of humanity.
Yeah, I don't know.
But to be in a space with 4-H volunteers and 4-H staff, like, we know how hard young people are on themselves. Mm-hmm. We know how hard it can be to fail, how scary it can be to try something new because we've got that failure or that self-talk in the back of our heads, like convincing us not to do it. But in 4-H spaces, it's like a world of cheerleaders. You know what? Like, just go ahead and try it. Just try it and see what happens. And you know what? If you fall, I'm here to catch you. And I'm going to help boost you back up. I'm going to tell you my own failure stories. I'm going to talk with you and let's reflect and say, okay, so self-analyze. What went really good for you? And what do you think you could change that would lead to a better outcome? These are the kind of skills that 4-H is all about. And maybe in the end, it means that we go from a Pinterest fail cake to something that's gorgeous. The key in that development is to not let somebody quit. Oh my gosh, this is terrible. I'm no good. I'm never going to try this again. That doesn't lead to good results in life.
Yeah.
Like, right? So, and it's in that then, okay, I can look at my own work. I can think about ways to do it better. And I can identify things that I do really well. That's a confidence booster.
Yeah.
And to have a caring adult say, you know what? You can do it. Right?
Yeah.
I can see great things in you. That's really going to help boost the confidence. I'm not saying that it has to come from those adults all the time. The adults are helping young people to learn how to bring that internally.
You know, thinking too of doing these projects, kids doing these projects around other kids, and the support they get from their own peers is key too, and very important. Encouragement, support go so far. That can be a big building block too. And it's in... As a father of three, where my kids are in their mid to late 20s, and I still feel this way. I don't want them to fail at anything. I never want them to feel an ounce of pain. I want nothing but good days for them, blah, blah, blah. We get this as parents. But it's our job as parents to let them fail at times, to let them scrape their knee, because this is how you learn as a human being. You know, we don't learn from our successes. We learn from our failures. That's how we really grow as a person. And then when we finally get something right, that's when it makes it mean something, because it took us so long to do that. I think this is another thing we forget as adults, that it's so good for kids to fail. It's good for kids to learn these things, to, you know, try and not succeed, and then try again and not succeed, and then try again and succeed.
Yeah.
There's something to that that is so organic that the 4-H really incorporates into a lot of what they do. It's one thing to tell a kid, hey, you did a good job there. It's another thing to apply that, to add on to that, hey, you did a good job here, and them themselves seeing their progress.
Yep. It's goal setting, and it's just, I think we're trained from an early age not to brag.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially in the Midwest.
Yeah. So I don't know. Oh my gosh, you're so big-headed. You're so stuck up. You're so whatever comes along with the recognition that I can do something well. Mm. And so having an avenue and a reason to be able to identify the good things, encouraging young people to do that is so important.
Yeah.
And it's not about being stuck up. It's not about being a braggart. It's about recognizing what I'm doing well, what I'm not doing so well, and how can we improve overall.
Yeah.
It's not about the grade at the end of the day, and that's one of the things that my kids struggle with at school, right? So if they don't do well on a math test in this unit, oh, they're no good in this. They just don't know.
Mm.
And that's not the truth, right? Mm-hmm. It's maybe they didn't understand. Maybe they learn it a different way. Maybe if they could try new techniques, they could get the right answers and it would make more sense. Hands-on learning is all about that.
Yeah.
The way I do it might work for me and it might not work for you.
Yeah.
So let's try it out. Let's see. Let's experiment.
We're speaking with Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW Extension, Madison Wood County. Laura, what we've talked about today, a lot of interesting, a lot of fun conversation. I know that I'm curious, and I'm sure some of the audience is, of how you're working to expand the outreach of 4-H and do some of these things and reach some of these kids you're talking about.
Yeah, so I know that we are not going to get everybody into a 4-H club. There's lots of reasons why, and that's okay. But I really do deeply believe that this is a benefit not only to the young people themselves, but a benefit to community, because we'll have stronger adults in the future if we have, young people that can analyze themselves and do better and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So partnership is really the way that we're trying to reach out. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to keep saying it. We have an amazing network of public libraries in Wood County. And that's one of my favorite places to partner. They allow us to offer free programming for the community. The librarians work with us for what kinds of things might be of interest. So, we have the definites on what's the SCAT right now for December 5th. But Melina, our AmeriCorps member, is also working on some programs that'll be at McMillan Library during the holiday break when kids are out of school. Like, go on to your library. She'll take care of the young kids. Parents might go off and peruse, enjoy a cup of coffee, who knows what, on their own for a little while. But again, anybody can walk into that library. Yeah. They are always welcome to join into those programs. Melina's also working on some partnership with the Boys and Girls Club, which again, it's a new audience. They belong to a great program already, but we have some resources that we can bring in and offer some new opportunities for the young people there. Jasmine and I are working on the Juntos program up in Marshfield, and we hope to be able to bring that down to Southwood County as well. And it really is all about doing what's going to help our young people succeed in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I never want to hear anybody talk about those young people these days or whatever else, unless they are doing something to actively help and bring those young people up.
100%. Man, I just love talking with you, Laura. A great, great conversation. Thank you so much. Thank you to you and Jasmine, what you guys are putting into our community and doing. If people have follow-up questions, you want to know some more about 4-H, how can they get in touch with you?
So our office phone number where you can reach me, Jasmine, or Melina, is 715-421-8439, or you can always email me. I'm at laura.huber@wisc.edu, and we publish all of our programs on our Wood County 4-H, WI Facebook page, and we've also got Instagram too, so we're trying to reach out and let everybody know what we're up to.
Be sure to follow those pages, everybody. Trust me, it's a great follow. Very glad I did. Laura, always good talking with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, James.
We'll talk soon. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade.
Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Hey, this WFHR is Jim Santow, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.